Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading is out of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. For those of you who want to follow along, that's going to be page 7 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, have you ever met somebody that you didn't know just yet, but you knew about them because someone else told you about them? And when you met them, you're like, oh, you are a lot nicer than I had imagined. I'm going to take by your laughter that that is a yes. And that's usually the case. We meet people sometimes who our ideas of who that person is informed by others who have particular experiences with them. But then it's in getting to know them ourselves that our hearts are open and our minds are changed. And this is a continuation of what I want to talk about from last week. And I think for a lot of people, Jesus is that kind of person. And this is, I don't remember who said this, but it is a quote that I've heard since I grew up in church. And thank you for that wonderful children's sermon as to why we go to church. And the one thing that I had sort of ingrained in my memory for many, many years is that for some people, we are the only Bible that they will ever read. For some people, we are the only expression of Jesus that they will ever meet. And so this is why our calling into his life is paramount. Because we indeed are making God's appeal on his behalf to others to come and to know. So how do we begin to live and love like Jesus? Now, I grew up in Northern California. I moved here when I was 10, but I lived in the San Joaquin Valley in Stockton. And one of my favorite memories still to this day is going to Oakland A's games with my dad and my uncles. And the Oakland A's are still my favorite team of all my favorite teams because there are some memories tied to it that was my first experience. And I played Little League Baseball as a kid. And I was okay, but I loved baseball. I'm one of those people who could still watch a 3-hour game on TV and not consider a waste of time. Hey, Pastor Dennis said amen back there, just so you all know. And I still have a great love for the Oakland A's. And I still have a great disdain for the New York Yankees. Because the Oakland A's are the actual professional farm team to the Yankees, but that's a whole nother sermon. That's my problem, not yours. But I can remember, you know, when you love sports, you watch. And when you watch, you begin to mimic. And I can remember a Little League game that I was playing in. And I remember getting into the batter's box, and I remember touching the far side of the plate to make sure it reached across. And I got in my crouch, and I'm looking, and as the pitcher winds up, I step out of the batter's box, and I put my hand up, and I yell, time. And the ump yells, time, and the pitcher stops his windup, and he looks at me, and he goes, are you okay, son? I said, oh, yeah, but I see the pros do that on TV. And immediately, the ump, kind of annoyed, goes, get back in the batter's box. I didn't know the reason why batters would call time. I just knew it was something that they did just by watching. And I realized at that point that there is a time and place for everything. But I thought to myself, if I'm going to be a good baseball player, I need to watch how the good ones do it, and then I need to mimic my actions, my rhythms, after what I'm observing. And it is the same thing with following Jesus. We have just read in this great passage, this conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus calls us, the listener, with this idea that anyone or everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, puts them into practice, will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Jesus here is calling us to understand that there is a real implication to hear what he says in this Sermon on the Mount. So your homework this week, I haven't assigned homework for the last month, but you get it again today, is to go back and reread the Sermon on the Mount, all three chapters, and ask yourself the question, what would it look like if I put these things into practice? What would it look like for me and for us as a community to be poor in spirit, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be meek, to be merciful, to be peacemakers? What does it mean for us to be salt and light? What does it mean to not be led by things like anger, jealousy, strife, lust, but to have a transformation of the heart that can celebrate and rejoice and serve others? What does it mean to not be overwhelmed by anxiety, by worry, by what we're going to eat, by what we're going to wear? What does it mean to live life around the words of Jesus, to trust him enough that he says, if the thing that you keep praying for has not been answered yet, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep looking, the answer is coming. To reorganize our lives around the words of Jesus. He calls us into this life to say the wise person is the one who hears the word, my words, and puts them into practice. That's difficult for us. That's difficult for me. I would hate to lump anyone else in that category. Because sometimes I don't want to love my enemies. Sometimes the last thing I want to do for those who persecute me is to bless them. There are times when I want to be angry. And there are times that I don't want to give space for the Lord's vengeance. I want revenge now. There are times when I want to see things from my point of view. And you know, sometimes for us, trying to do things Jesus' way feels completely unnatural. And sometimes when things don't feel right, we want to revert to what's more comfortable. I can remember, so again, you guys get a little bit of my biography today. A number of years ago, I was fairly unhealthy, and I weighed about 100 pounds more than I do now. And I struggled with all sorts of medical complications that came with not taking care of myself. And I can remember looking at my doctor. I said, "Dr. Stevens, is there anything I can do to kind of help reverse this?" And he looked at me and he goes, "Do you mean other than diet and exercise?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "Do you have like a pill or something I could take?" True story. That conversation happened in my doctor's office. He's like, "Mario, it starts with diet and exercise." And can I tell you, for me, getting on a treadmill did not feel natural. There was nothing about that rhythm that seemed comfortable or right. In fact, there took some spiritual, what I would say, some real discipline, a reorientation into this idea of what's the goal, what's the telos, what's the purpose. And do you know what was interesting? The more I did it, the easier it got. And then all of a sudden, you see that it works. And then when you see that it works, you don't want to stop. And I think for us as Christians, I know that I oftentimes am amazed when I do things the way Jesus calls us to do them, and then I'm amazed that it works. And if this goes any further, when it does work, I have to be honest. I try to find any other explanation to make sense of it other than, Jesus is just saying, hey, hear my words, put them into practice. You'll be like a wise person who builds their house on a sure foundation. Because the one thing we do know, that both the wise man and the foolish man live lives based on particular foundations. And in each case, the storms, the wind, and the rain, and the floods come. And if there's anything that we can all say that is true about life, can't we? Is that there are storms, that there are floods, that there are things that come crashing in on us that we don't plan, that we don't expect, and sometimes they are sudden. And it's in those moments that what is at the foundation reveals the integrity of the structure of which we are living in. And so it is important for us, it is paramount, that we take the words of Jesus to heart. I was so excited as I was talking with Melissa about this day because it was, again, a celebration of our youth and the work that they've done. And in some ways, they are modeling for us what it looks like to put Jesus' words into action. And my encouragement to all of the young people here, mostly in this section, but as we are scattered throughout the sanctuary, that as you continue to grow, become more like Jesus in the context of your own personality and how you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And how do you become like him? Study him, understand him, get to know him. Jesus now is the first fruit of a new creation. We are called to share his life. One of my favorite things to read, kind of a guilty pleasure, is Calvin and Hobbes. And I can still remember one of my favorite strips was comic strips by Bill Watterson was Calvin, this 5-year-old boy with this active imagination, is standing in front of a full-body mirror and he is flexing and all he has on are his superhero underoos. And he's flexing and he goes, made in God's image, yes I am. to which Hobbes says, well then God must have a funny sense of humor. But the reality is this, we need to be childlike in the fact that Calvin could look at it, look in the mirror and see something beyond himself. What would it look like for us to look every day in the mirror and maybe to look at each other, to look at the people who are closest to us and say, you are made in God's image. You are the beloved and God's favor rests on you. Go and live life like Jesus. C.S. Lewis, I'm going to paraphrase C.S. Lewis, put it this way. He said, Jesus' command to be perfect as the Father is perfect is not just some idealistic gas. He's actually making us into the kind of people who can obey such a command. We are being made into something. And that something we are being made into points to someone. And in becoming like Jesus, we become who we were always intended to be. Our sense of who we are is not lost. It is enhanced. It comes in fuller view, but it comes to this idea now that Jesus is talking about. Hear my words. Put them into practice. Practice makes perfect. When you are confronted with the choice of blessing an enemy or cursing an enemy, I know, please trust me, I know which one feels better momentarily. Opt for what Jesus teaches us. When we feel a longing to serve ourselves, hunger and thirst for righteousness, reorient our lives for the purposes of the kingdom. It is never too late to start. We live grace upon grace, and Jesus meets us where we are, waiting for us. And we enjoy the benefits of building the house on his sure foundation. Is that my timer? I'm just kidding. And interestingly enough, Jesus here has a particular audience in mind. I don't have time to go into it all the way. But there were groups of people whose hopes and expectations were in other things. They had a sense of how God's kingdom was to come about. Some of these people were known as the Essenes, some were known as the Pharisees, some were known as the Sadducees and those who kept the temple. Each one of them had a particular vision as to what was the sure foundation of which life could be built. Jesus is warning them that those things were a shadow, those things were pretense, but that the real foundation, the sure foundation, would be his words. Words of life, words of promise, words of fruitfulness, words of honesty, words that get at the heart of the human experience and call us into a place of honesty and vulnerability and authenticity, where we must be honest with ourselves and we must be honest with others, and what comes out the other side of it is resurrection life of wholeness, of being and understanding, where we can be the kind of people God has called us to be. And so I leave us, not only this morning, but this summer, what is your foundation? What is our foundation? What are we building our lives collectively and individually around? What kind of habits are we cultivating? Who is discipling you? We're all students of somebody. The call for Jesus here is to become his students, to hear and to do, so we can be salt and light in a city on a hill. I want to close with one final illustration because it sums up the foolish builder, I think, in a way that I'd never imagined. 2 years ago, our family took a vacation to Southern California and we did the whole Disneyland thing, and then we spent a day at the beach. And I think if you were to ask our family, we would still tell you, as fun as Disneyland was, that day, the day at the beach was easily the pinnacle of our time together. And it was my son's first trip to the ocean and my daughter's first cognizant memory of the ocean. And so, of course, what did they build on the beach? A sandcastle. And I can still remember, as they were building it, they were a little too close to the shoreline. And we kept telling them, hey, you might want to bring that castle up. Oh, no, it's cool. And they worked on this sandcastle, and it was fun to watch, and it was beautiful. And then all of a sudden, the tide came in and hit the sandcastle and pulled everything back. And I remember watching that. And I can remember my kids' expression, like, where did it go? It's gone. And it wasn't that just the sandcastle had come toppling down. It was that there was no evidence that it had even existed in the first place. And I think the lesson for us and the application for us is just the same. Build on a foundation that will last. Many of us, before we came to Christ, before we came to God's people, build our lives on foundations that there is no longer any evidence of other than ruin. But to build our lives on the words of Jesus indeed is a sure foundation of which we can be confident and hopeful that whatever life throws at us, what we build will stand, because it truly is a reflection of his love, his character, his grace, his message, his proclamation. I believe practice makes perfect. I believe God's people can do it. Will we be perfect? Of course not. That's why we need each other, to encourage, to motivate, to point us in that direction. But we can. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have told us we could.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.